How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 196 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com and log on to normantranscript.com. You can check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site, and see all my Thunder coverage there. The coverage extends even into the offseason. I'm going to have player profiles going up. That's going to start on Monday. I'm going to be doing five players a week. It's going to be the wings the first week. I think we're doing the bigs the second week and the guards the third week. So that's just kind of season in review for every single player on the roster. And not just that, but also what's ahead this offseason. And then, of course, what would be ahead next season, depending on the contract situations guys are in or the seasons they're coming off of or whatever it might be. There's going to be some change-ups to the podcast coming soon, too. I'm not exactly sure what they're going to be or when they're going to come. But obviously, if you're at all a regular listener, you know, because I say it every episode, I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, and that's as of now. But that's going to change at some point. Obviously, there's not enough out there for me to talk to myself 5 days a week throughout the entire summer. So at some point, the schedule is going to change up. I don't know if that'll be next week or the week after that or, you know, the month after that or whatever it's going to be, but I'm going to figure that out. And then I'll go back to, not sure if it's going to be twice a week, three times a week, four times a week, whatever it'll be. That's something I'm going to have to figure out. Obviously, I'm part of a larger podcast network, which is doing great now. David Locke just went on the Low Post podcast this week with Zach Lowe's podcast, which was awesome. Not sure exactly how. I mean, I listened to that when it was 3-2 Jazz in that first round series, and now all of a sudden, you know, we're in the second round, so I don't know how pertinent that is going back or how relevant it is now, considering where we are in the playoffs. But that was a super good podcast, and David got to plug the Locked On Podcast Network, and Zach did the same thing, which was cool to hear. So, you know, I'm part of a bigger podcast network, so it's not just my decision, it's the whole network's decision on how we're going to handle this and what we're going to do in the offseason, because it's our first real offseason coming off a season. You know, last year I was around in the offseason, but I started, when did I start? Like, very end of June, I started this podcast last year. I've been going for about 10 and a half months or so. I started right before free agency started, so just in time for the Kevin Durant stuff. This year, it's obviously different. The Thunder got eliminated from the playoffs earlier, and you know, we've got more of a downtime, so that's something I'll figure out. I will keep you guys posted, though. I will let all the listeners know. I value the listeners. You're what keeps me in business. Today, we're doing something a little different. We're shaking it up. I'm gonna do a true-false Thunder podcast. It's all just going to be, I went to Twitter, and sometimes, I'll be honest, I put out a call for Twitter questions. Sometimes I get too many good questions. Like, I just can't use all of them, and they're really good questions, and I either don't use them because I forget to, or because it's not quite as relevant to that particular game or something like that as another one is. Sometimes I just, like, scroll through it too fast, and I miss a question, and after I kind of see it because I have the page open still, I'm like, oh, crap, that was the best question, and I just missed it. I put out a call for true-false, just all true-false statements that I'll be answering, whether they're true, whether they're false. Let's get hot takey here. It's the off-season. We can get hot takey. Lots of good questions. Like, I normally take, like, four questions, and it fills the show. There are a ton of really good ones, and I didn't even get to put all of them in. So, the tweeters really came through on this one. Let's get to it. First one, from Pablo Ignacio. True or false? OKC has options to bring in PG. All right, well, he said PG specifically. So this all depends on whether PG means a backup point guard or PG means Paul George. They'll have options to bring in a backup point guard. They got a mid-level exception. They got a biannual exception. Maybe they can bring in somebody good on a minimum deal. Who knows? That's certainly a plausibility if somebody wants to come in on a minimum deal or a biannual or whatever it is. They can get a backup point guard. I don't think that's what Pablo meant, though. So I'm going to say false. I don't think they have what it takes to bring in Paul George, because I think what it would take to bring in Paul George would be high draft picks, and the Thunder don't have that. That's not going to be an option. 2018 is going to Utah, and that's top 14 protected. But the Thunder presumably are not going to be a top 14. They're presumably not going to be a top 14 team, assuming Russell Westbrook comes back. And if Russell Westbrook comes back, all of a sudden you're not talking about getting Paul George. And Paul George is probably not talking about coming to Oklahoma City. There's also the fact that you have to consider that Sam Presti may not want to trade for a one-year rental of Paul George. Does he want to give up a lot so that he can get Paul George for what could only amount to 1 year if Paul George ups and leaves when he hits free agency the following season? I don't think that's something that Presti would do. I don't think that's in his character. He spent a lot of exit interviews talking about continuity. Now, some of that is just selling stuff. But he does believe in that stuff. He does believe that improvement, the best improvement for this team, can come internally, not externally. Now, obviously, Paul George is a great player. Just a phenomenal player. He's a great defender. He had the best year of his career this year. He's always good in the playoffs. He's fantastic. He creates shots for himself. He's become a great shooter. He was tremendously efficient this year. You can have a top-tier offense if you've got him. You can have a top-tier defense if you've got him, even though Indiana's defense struggled a lot this year. Not because of him. He can guard multiple positions. He guards on the wings. He's really good. He's not really good. He's great. But it would take a lot to get him. And there are other teams that would be willing to give up and will have the capabilities to give up, Boston, for example, high picks in order to get him. Stuff that Indiana would probably feel more comfortable building around. And keep in mind, Steven Adams is not a piece that Indiana might want that much. They have Miles Turner. Miles Turner is going to be a heck of a player. He's actually younger than Steven Adams is. He's going to be a heck of a player. So the young pieces that Indiana could bring in wouldn't be worth it for Paul George. I just don't see that them matching up as a trade partner. False. Next, from Thunder Mob, true or false, Adams, Oladipo, and McDermott will all be on the OKC roster on opening night. True. True. I think this organization really believes in Steven Adams. Doug McDermott, they just traded for, and I don't think McDermott on his own has a ton of value right now, and I do think he can help them. I think we're going to see McDermott get more minutes next year. I think we're going to see him get more consistent minutes next year. I think that's a real likelihood. I think they kind of looked back on this year and thought, okay, he came in midseason. They didn't use him quite as well as they wanted to. And I don't think there was necessarily blame inside of the organization from that perspective. I think they just kind of thought, all right, they didn't quite know what they had. Now I think they've kind of figured it out. McDermott is coming back. He's not a free agent. He's going to be back next year on his rookie deal still. They need shooting. I think there's a possibility they play him more at small ball four. They can obviously play him at the three, which is his natural position. I think they give in a little bit less about his defense, and he gets more consistent minutes throughout next regular season. I think that's a real likelihood. And Adams and Oladipo are going to be kicking into their extensions. I don't see either of them getting moved unless there's part of one really big deal. It's possible with Oladipo. It's possible. When I say possible, I mean there's a non-zero chance, but wouldn't bet on any of that. Next one from Extreme Thunder Fan. Can't imagine what that guy's bias is. True or false, Singler or Kanter will still be on the team on opening night. True. I think Enes Kanter, I'm giving Enes Kanter a 60% chance of staying around for next year. I'm giving him a 60%. Now, Singler, there's a distinct possibility they could stretch Kyle Singler. Thing about Singler is people talk about how he's got 3 years left on his deal. And while that's technically true, it's not quite conceptually true. The last year of his deal is non-guaranteed. So they could waive that and it would cost them absolutely nothing. So really, conceptually, he's got 2 years left on his deal. But if they stretch, the way stretching works is you waive a guy and then you can stretch his salary over a designated number of years, which is dependent on how many years are remaining on the guy's deal. So the way it works is it's two times the amount of years remaining on the deal plus one. So if a guy has 1 year remaining on his deal, you stretch it over 3 years. You stretch the remaining salary on his deal over 3 years. If he has 2 years left on his deal, you stretch the remaining salary on his deal over 5 years. 3 years, it's over 7 years. Now, Singler has 3 years left on the deal. So if you stretch his deal, it would be stretched over 7 years. And that's a cap hit. It would be stretched over 7 years. But there's not $15 million left because he's got about $15 million left, but $5 million is not guaranteed. So if they were to stretch him, that's $10 million that they would have to pay him. And he'd still get the money distributed the same way. But in terms of the way it affects the cap, That's only $10 million cap hit over 7 years. It would be about $1.4 million a year for 7 years. Pretty minimal. Now the Thunder are already paying somebody next year to not be on their roster. Ronnie Price. Ronnie Price they're paying about $2.5 million to next year because of that Aaron signing that they had last year. So they would be paying about $4 million. But there are teams still suffering stretched money from their team. I mean, the Nets are still paying Deron Williams over $5 million a year. Detroit is still paying Josh Smith. And keep in mind, I'm phrasing it wrong. I shouldn't say still paying. He's still counting against their cap. They get their money the same, but the cap hit changes. He's still counting against their cap for $5 million. But 1.4 is not that much. I mean, that's about 1% of the cap these days. Cap is well up over $100 million next year. So I think stretching Singler is a real possibility, but I'm giving Cantor a 60-40 chance of sticking around. Before we move on to the next one, I just want to take a quick second to talk about SeatGeek, because buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deal for that game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that, but SeatGeek is different. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. SeatGeek is always the first place I go to look for tickets to a game or to a concert. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and I just used it the other day to look at tickets for the OKC Dodgers. It's summer. I've got free time. There's no baseball. I went to a couple Dodgers games last summer. It's super fun. You can just buy those tickets like 20 rows up, and you can just walk down and sit right behind the dugout. That's what I did. I actually went to a game with Royce last summer. I went to another one. They're really fun, although I have to say, food there, not great. But the games are super fun if you're a baseball fan. I really enjoyed that. I'm probably going to go to at least a couple more this summer. So I was on there looking to see which teams are coming in. I want to see some top prospects because I love baseball. Love baseball. Really excited to go to those games. And I use SeatGeek to try to find those tickets. Everything about SeatGeek is designated to make life easier for sports and music fans. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save the time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code LOTHUNDER. That's L-O, like locked on, and SeatGeek is going to give you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LOTHUNDER today.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, true or false, from Rob Mitchell. True or false? With proper spacing adjustments, Steven Adams can be a top three center in the NBA. False. Steven Adams can get a lot better. He can be really good. He's already good. He can be really good. 23 years old. I mean, people forget that because he's been around forever. But, like, he's 23. He's not close to how good he can be. He can continue to improve for a number of years down the line. Top three, too high. Too many good centers right now. I mean, there's Gobert, and there's DeAndre Jordan, and there's Marc Gasol, and, you know, there's DeMarcus Cousins, and there's Anthony Davis. One of those guys is going to be a center if they're on the same team. And those are just, like, the established guys. You know, there's also Nikola Jokic, and there's Miles Turner, who I mentioned earlier. I mean, Jokic is going to be an all-NBA caliber guy. Did I say Towns? That's why I need a co-host. I can't remember if I said Towns. Well, I'm saying Karl-Anthony Towns now. There's a ton of good centers out there now. There are a lot of them. And Steven Adams can be really good. He can be a really good player. Top three center? Nah, I don't see it. I don't see that. That's too high. Top 10 center? Sure. Sure. But top three, I'm giving a false to that one. Next one from Nascimento City. True or false, Taj Gibson is not going to be a Thunder player next year. True. It's possible the Thunder bring him back. But I think they're prioritizing Andre Roberson over him right now. And even if they bring back Roberson, that just bringing back Roberson makes it extremely possible they go into the luxury tax. They would have to make some major salary moves in order to bring back Roberson and Gibson and not go into the luxury tax. And I just, I don't know if they're going to go into the luxury tax. That's a real off-season storyline, how willing they are to go into the luxury tax. It's a real one. They've gone to the it's not like they haven't done it. They did it once before. They went to the tax last year. But that was not a championship-caliber team. It was during a year where they had to show to Kevin Durant that they were going to try to win, and they were willing to go into the tax because it was a free agency year. Now, maybe that's an equivalent year for this for Russell Westbrook, maybe, depending on what happens. Maybe the willingness to go into the tax is something that convinces Russell Westbrook to extend. That's a possibility. But I wonder how they're going to handle that, because going into the tax as a small market team, going into the tax as a 47-win team that's a 6-seed, just to kind of bring the band back together when the band is a 6-seed, I mean, most big markets aren't going to do that. Most big markets aren't going to do that. Small market that has a history for not wanting to pay that kind of stuff, I don't know if that's going to happen. I think Gibson's a rental. I don't think there are scenarios in which he comes back. Maybe Robertson ends up getting a much bigger contract than the Thunder anticipate, and they say, okay, well, they can bring back Gibson. But there's maybe they deal Kanter and they say, okay, they can bring back Gibson. But they think Grant is a 4 and they want to hold on to him. They think Grant's a 4. I don't think we're going to see very much Jeremy Grant as a 3 next year. I think we see more Jeremy Grant as a 5 than we do as a 3. There's Sabonis, who they still believe in the long term. There's obviously Steven Adams. There's Kanter, depending on what happens with his contract. And it's just a crowded front court. Sam Presti has shown he's okay going into a season with a crowded front court. He did it this year. Those situations at times can work themselves out. And, going in with a three-man big rotation that you're solidly includes Sabonis is obviously somewhat of a risk, because this second-year guy will be 21 years old. And he was really not productive at all in the second half of this season. And that's a rookie. That's okay. But that's somewhat of a risk going into it. So I think they'd like to bring back Gibson. I know they really like the front office really likes what Gibson did for them. And the organization as a whole likes what Gibson did for them. I was still a little bit confused by Billy Donovan's reluctance to play him more minutes during their first round playoff series. But I think they like Gibson a lot. He was good for them. He was really quality for them. But it's tough. It's tough to bring him back. It's a weird fit financially. So I'm giving a false on that one. It's possible, but not likely. Next, from Vic. True or false? Russell Westbrook will have a significant drop in usage next season. I just brought this up to say that I don't think I can answer it, because a few people asked me some form of this question, and I can't really answer it because I don't know if I don't know the roster, I don't know yet. It's possible. It's also possible that this is the way he's going to play if he doesn't have a star next to him. Because he kind of played similarly to this when he was playing with Kevin Durant. So maybe this is how he plays if he doesn't have a star next to him. Let's see the rest of the roster, and then we can definitely read. It's a question worth asking. There's no question. It's a good question. It's just pretty hard to answer at this point in the offseason. So let's see what happens. Finally, from Dylan Harris. True or false, the roster looks better going into next season. I'll say true. And the reason why is kind of along the lines of what I came away with was the main theme of Sam Presti's exit interview on Monday, which is that they're really young. They're really, really young. They were the third youngest team in the league this year. Victor Oladipo is 25 years old, or 24 years old? 24, 25. 24. I think he's 24. He'll be 25 he might be turned 25 this week, actually, but he's 24 right now. Adams is 23, and Kanter's 24, and McDermott's 25, and Abrines is 23 or 24, and Grant is 23, Sabonis is 20. They got young guys. They got a lot of young guys. Young guys just tend to get better. I think Alex Abrines is going to be really good next year. That's like, if I had to predict the most improved Thunder player for next season, he would be my guy. I think he's going to be really good next year. I think he's going to be a real contributor. And I think maybe it's somewhat retrospect or somewhat hindsight or whatever it is, but I think they could have justified playing him more minutes than they did this year. He shot about 42%. When he got hot on December 21st and hit 5 threes. He wasn't making threes early in the season. December 21st in New Orleans, he hit 5 threes. From that date on, he shot 42% from 3 the rest of the year on a pretty good number of shots. He's got a beautiful 3-point shot. And I think he's going to be tremendously valuable to them next year. And I think there are other guys who are going to improve. I think Adams is going to get better. Improvement's not always linear. There's no question that I thought Steven Adams was going to be better than he ended up being coming into this year. He's also 23 years old. He was great in the playoffs in 2016. But improvement is not always linear. My opinion on what Steven Adams is going to end up being has not changed. It's the same. My opinion on how quickly he was going to get there changed. I still thought he was good this year. He just wasn't as good as he was in the postseason. He was good. He had a really good defensive season. Like a really, really strong defensive season. He's one of the best pick-and-roll defenders in the league right now. But guys are going to improve. Guys are going to get better. I think they're going to play McDermott more. I think they're probably going to have some more shooting, if only because they're going to choose to play some more shooting. There are a lot of times where they had shooting just sitting on the bench. So I think that their weapons are going to improve a little bit more. This is all assuming, obviously, that Russell Westbrook is still around. But I think the guys around him will improve a little bit more. And that will help them a lot. And I think, yeah, I think the roster will look better. And they have a mid-level exception to work with. They have a biannual to work with. They can use either. They can use both. Depending on whether they want to, how they want to use those assets. There are obviously different strategic reasons for why you would or wouldn't want to use both of those assets. And how you would want to use them. But I think they're certainly going to be better at backup point guard. Not going to be much worse. So I think there's honestly reason for optimism next year. As to why this team can be better. And I'm not talking about getting back to where they were before. I know some Thunder fans think you can just snap your fingers and they're back to where they were before. That's not happening. That's not going to happen. They're not going to be that. They're not going to be a top three team next year. But they can win some more games, maybe put themselves to get into a playoff series win, depending on how they operate. And I think the young guys will improve and they will get better. And I think it'll look like there's more around Russell Westbrook from the way they use those guys. Remember, I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday for now, but that might change soon. Like I said at the top of the show, going to figure that stuff out. And I will let you guys know as soon as I do. I'll tweet something out and I'll obviously talk about it on the show as well. So you're all updated on what my schedule is going to be during the off season. Still, you can head on to iTunes. You can subscribe to Lockdown Thunder. If you have questions or comments, email lockdownthunder@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter @FredKatz, FredKatz. You can also find any updates that I have on the show. I'll put those on Twitter as well. You can log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site. You can see my player evaluation series, which is going to be coming out. Like I said, that's starting off Monday. That's going to be running Monday through Friday for 3 weeks, starting on, May 8th. That's starting on May 8th. And I am going to have a story up on Thursday morning, just something about the Thunder upcoming offseason. I'll probably write, I haven't 100% decided on what I'll do, but I think I'm going to end up doing something on the possibility of going into the luxury tax and how the Thunder could end up navigating that, because I think that's kind of an underplayed part of their offseason. That's a very, very big deal for them. It's a really big deal for most organizations, and it will certainly be a really interesting storyline for this one because of the history of all that and what it could mean financially for the organization moving forward. But that's going to do it for today. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.